This is Gilbert Andrew Garcia. Listen to my radio show, A Tip from Gilbert. Talk, inspiration, and prayer every Monday from 11 a.m. till noon on Houston's gospel leader, KWWJ, 1360 a.m. and streaming live on KWWJ.org. Listen on the legendary KYOK, 1140 a.m. and streaming live on KYOKradio.org. KCOH, 1230 a.m., The Source. On Send Geek Radio, 95.1 FM, 1460 a.m. And Aliento Radio, 101.7 FM and 1540 a.m. Call in at 832-570-8075 and follow me on social media. See you then. All right, Houston, you got me, Gilbert Garcia, with a tip from me. That's called a tip from Gilbert, Ruby.
There you go.
With my sidekick, Ruby Munoz Dang.
Good morning, everyone.
We're having a dang good time here, Ruby Dang. Well, you know, before we get started, an update on my sister-in-law, because she's now had two full blood transfusions. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what that really means other than it can't, I mean, it's got to be painful or it's got to do something to you. They were at our house last week during the convention, and this is our convention episode, but she came over, so I haven't seen her in over a week or so. And I think they're coming in later on this week again. And again, for those who are just now listening, that's my sister-in-law, who's just wonderful. That means she's my wife's brother's wife, and she has liver cancer. So we're going to do a prayer for healing. Heavenly Father, I come before you with a heart burdened by illness. You are the great healer, and I place my trust in your loving hands. Grant me strength to endure this trial and courage to face each day. Pour out your healing grace upon my body, mind, and spirit. May your peace, which surpasses all understanding, fill my heart. In the midst of my weakness, be my strength. I surrender myself to your care, trusting that your love will sustain me. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
Amen.
And of course, the firm's good friend Scarface, I saw was in jail.
Not in jail. What am I saying?
Brad, I apologize. I meant to say
in ICU.
In ICU. Maybe it feels like jail. Yeah, I don't know. Because I was in ICU at one time before, years and years ago. Bottom line is, he's in the hospital.
Yes.
And I reached out to him and I just said, I hope you're doing okay, because I'm hanging in there, bro. And then I said, do you need any food? Because that's what I always think about. He goes, no, I'm doing great. So Brad and Scarface, we miss you, pal, and we hope you're doing okay there in the hospital. And then a couple of other things. I want to give the schedule, because people often say, well, Gilbert, who's going to be on your show? Who's going to be on your show?
Right.
So go ahead and ask me.
Who's going to be on your show, Gilbert?
On September the 2nd, we're going to have Representative Christina Morales, and it's going to be Labor Day weekend. Yeah, she's wonderful. And then on the 9th, we're going to have Mr. Dwight Boykins.
Wow.
Yeah, great. Real community activist, former councilman. And we haven't heard the last of him, right? So we're going to have him. Then we're going to have Chris Tomlinson and from the Houston Chronicle on the 16th. And boy, we're going to go to town on Centerpoint.
Yes.
Because he's got all the goods. And, you know, these guys, they're just so bad. And we're going to read all those cats that are making all this money at our expense, those board members who don't do anything but say yes to management, and then, of course, that management team. And then we're going to have Councilman Julian Ramirez.
Oh, wonderful.
Because he did such a great job. I had a lot of people say, let's bring him back, bring him back. So we're bringing him back. And then we're going to have Miss Georgia Provost on the 30th. Now, she's another one that just does everything in the community.
Yes.
And so we're going to have her. And so I went to the Democratic Convention, and you were there.
It was incredible.
Wasn't it incredible?
Oh, my gosh.
Well, you know, I'm going to get hyped up because, you know, I have a lot of different clips I want to play.
Oh, wonderful.
Yes.
Wonderful.
First, we're going to play the one about how to say her name, because I just think that's so, number one, I get it, because I think I've said her name like 20 different ways.
Right, right.
When you have a name that's sort of, you know, that's got lots of vowels. Oh, yeah. You know, you don't know. So I have many different ways to say her name. And now, so her, were they her nieces or who were those girls, little girls?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, well, they're going to tell us how to say her name.
Oh, good.
And then I can't help it. Maybe it's because I'm a, you know, a husband and I have my own wife who has a very noticeable laugh.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to play a clip of her laugh.
Oh, wonderful.
These guys, you know, and whether you support Donald Trump or not, those of you who are listening, at the end of the day, he just gives us so much material to work with,
yes,
you know, because apparently, and I got to find it, he was going crazy on his, whatever it is, his own version of Facebook,
yes,
or, while she was speaking. And he was so far as to say, and how come they call the vice presidential running mate a coach? He's not a coach. He's an assistant coach. Now, for those of you who play sports, any coach, vice coach, assistant coach, if you're a coach, they call you coach.
That's right.
So I just find it hilarious. And he went on and on, just like he hit like 50 of them at one time about her stuff. But then the husband says, I love her laugh.
Yes.
And you know what? So does America.
Yes.
And you know what? So do I, because it reminds me of my own wife. And that's the beautiful thing. This is not royalty. These are not people who have been destined for, you know, they were going to for sure be in politics and their grandfathers and their grandfathers and their grandfathers, all that stuff. This isn't any of that. Or they're billionaires and our kids are all looking to make money. No. These are like regular middle class, mm-hmm, folks.
That's right.
And yeah, that's what makes them so special. And you know what? That's why I'm going to say they're going to win, but I know it's we, because, mm-hmm, it's we. We're going to win.
Right. That's
because,
right,
there's more middle class normal folks than billionaires.
Yeah. I mean, they have wonderful stories, because when I see that, it's like seeing my story.
Yeah.
You know, I can relate to, they can relate to the people. And so it is different. And I think people gravitate to that, and we're ready for that type of change.
I think that's right. So let's first go to, how do we say her name? So let's go to that real quick. And so those of you on the radio, you'll hear it. Those of you who on all the social media, you're going to see it. Let's go.
Tell us your names.
Hello, everybody. My name's Amara.
And my name is Leela, her little sister.
Can't you just love them right now? Just love them.
To teach you how to say your auntie's name.
Okay. So the auntie's how do you name. Pronounce it?
First you say comma like a comma in a sentence.
Then you say la like la 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 la.
Look at her
put
hair.
It
I love it.
And it's 1, 2, 3. Kamala. All right. So let's practice. Let's practice.
Everybody on the... Everybody over here, say comma.
Comma.
Everybody over here, say la.
La.
Together.
Comma, la.
For president.
That is too cute.
I mean, that's got to make you say, you know what? You got to vote for her just for that.
Right.
I mean, you know, just because how wonderful to make – to know that some people don't really can't say my name.
Right.
And number two, to bring these beautiful little children to this moment that they're going to remember the rest of their lives. So will all of America, to say your name.
Right.
All right. We have a caller already. Let's go who that is. There's a Stacy. Stacy, are you there?
Hi, I'm here.
What do you got for us, Stacy, on a tip from Gilbert, which happens to be me?
Hey, so watching the DNC, they touched on Project 2025. I just wanted to get you your input on that, what you guys think of that, kind of eliminating the U.S. Department of Education.
Yeah, the bottom line is, you know, we need to have a whole episode on that.
I'm not even too sure.
All it is it's a playbook,
yeah,
right? And the key is, it's something that was done by a lot of real conservative people. Mm-hmm. And what they really want to do is dismantle government.
Right.
That's the real point. Mm-hmm. And those of you who are out there, when people say, you know, what is the difference between a Democrat and a Republican? Getting away from all these hot social issues.
Yeah.
Because that's not the difference. Mm-hmm. The difference is the philosophy of we as Democrats, and I'm a Democrat and I'll say it, and I have many Republican friends. It's just it's a fair, honest disagreement of the role of government. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing wrong with having both sides. But we Democrats, and Gilbert Garcia believes, that the government has a responsibility to make our lives better.
Right.
That's it. Mm-hmm. Whereas Republicans feel that the government really creates more problems, mm-hmm. whether it's regulatory, whether it's interfering, you know, whatever you want to think, but just interfering on our lives, on our rights. But in general, they believe that the less government, the better. Mm-hmm. And that's a very healthy disagreement. And so by the way, there used to be a time we could debate honestly and openly without getting mean and nasty.
Right.
And hopefully we'll get back to that. But going back to Stacey's point, I'm going to have a whole show, Stacey, on 2025. But what I could tell you that I have seen is a lot of right wing, you know, and these are intellectuals, wrote up a blueprint for what they think would be the next Republican president. And of course, they really did it with some of the Trump people. At least that's what I've read. And what they really did too, it's their blueprint because they think Trump's going to win. Mm-hmm. So now that people are exposing some of the more draconian, which means the more difficult or mean type policies, he's trying to run away from it. He's trying to say, that's not my plan.
Right.
Those guys did it. Those guys. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, we're going to get to the bottom of it, and we're going to talk about it. So, Stacey, I appreciate your question. So we're going to get to the bottom of it. But that's what I think it is. It's all a blueprint, and it's all about the things that the next president, the next president should do, mm-hmm. and they're all conservative. So, Stacey, thank you for calling in, and I'm going to make it a whole show because – let me just write that down – because we need to do that. We need to do it before election time because people need to know. So thank you. Thank you, madam.
I'll have to tune in for that. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. So, of course, you know, when you are a husband, you can't help but to love your kids, your spouse. And, you know, sometimes you love your good friends and, you know, you just love them and for who they are. But it's so funny that, again, the MAGA effort was trying to make, I don't want to say fun of, but they were trying to make an issue of Kamala's laugh.
That's ridiculous.
Isn't that ridiculous? I mean, her laugh, as if somehow her laugh does not make her qualified to be president. Right? Can you imagine that?
That's ridiculous.
You shouldn't be president because your laugh, you know, it annoys me. And the other thing is, you know, during the early part of the whole thing, I had good friends of mine that were longtime Democrats say, we got to keep Joe Biden in there. And I'm like, but look at him. Mm-hmm. He looks like he's ready to just, you know, retire at the retirement home,
right,
and enjoy his last years. Let him. You know, he's 80. How old is he? 81?
I think so.
81. Yeah. I'm just praying to live that long, mm-hmm. much less be, you know, the commander in chief of the biggest army and the biggest economy and the head of everything in the free world. And so the whole point is, you know, it's time for new blood. And I'm not saying like you got to go to someone that's 35 years old. I just mean new players.
Yeah.
Because we've had the Clintons and the Bushes, between one of them and this running the country for how many decades? And between, you know, the Clintons and, of course, now we've already had Obama and Biden. He's been in the Senate 50 years. It's just time for some new faces, new energy, new ideas. And that's the way forward,
right,
as the whole thing is. And so – I just wanted to say, when people say, because there were a lot of my friends saying, oh, no, she, you know, she's not qualified. I'm like, wait a minute. She is the vice president. So in other words, if something happened to the president and he was incapacitated or, heaven forbid, was killed or just died, well, guess who would be the president?
She's next.
She would
up.
Be. Yep. So you can't be talking about, oh, she's not qualified now. She's already been right next to the whole pinnacle of power for 4 years. And so my view is that's probably the best training ground there can possibly be.
Right. And also to see President Biden, what great leadership for him to say, it's time for me to step aside.
I know.
And for her to see that, right, that her, you know, her leader has said, it's time for me to hand over the baton.
How many times have you had a politician say something like, oh, I'm going to run for this, but I'm just going to be a caretaker.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm just going to do it one time, or I'm going to be replaced here, but I'm not going to run. Mm-hmm. How many times have you heard that?
Oh, yeah.
Like forever. And you never hear someone say, I get it. It's time to pass the torch to a new generation of leaders. We have a caller, but before we do that, let's play the clip that they put together of Kamala's laugh.
Oh, wonderful.
You know what? You're going to laugh. Listen to the laugh. Go ahead. Let's play that. Eat up for this. I mean, you want to laugh with her.
I know.
Not laugh at her.
I know.
Oh. That's it. Well, it went on. At the end of the day, first of all, who does that, finds all her laughs? And can you imagine someone, some mad scientist, I'm going to find all her laughs, I'm going to put them in one clip, and then here they are. I mean, you clearly have too much time on your hands.
Exactly.
But you know what? Her laugh is genuine, it's heartfelt, and it's contagious, and I think it's great. So this is what the first vice gentleman, is that what he's called? The first vice gentleman? Gentleman?
Yes. Yes, that's
okay.
Right.
This is what he said at the convention.
That laugh. I love that laugh.
Well, okay, you don't have any more of the clip?
That's it.
Okay. I think do it again. I love that laugh.
Well, you know that laugh. I love that laugh.
I mean, it's true.
That laugh. I love that laugh.
I think we all love that laugh.
Yes.
We already have another caller. Who was that another caller? What was that name? Jeremy. Is there a Jeremy there?
Hi. Hello?
Jeremy, what do you got? You got Gilbert Garcia, a tip for me with my sidekick, Ruby Dang, and this is our episode on the Democratic National Convention. What do you got for me?
Correct. Well, you kind of took the words right out of my mouth when you were talking about the coach. Because the Republicans came back and like, oh, he's not a coach, this and that. I'm like, everybody, when you win a championship, everybody on the staff gets the ring, number one.
Hey, man, that's a good one. That's a good one. Keep going.
You know, and number two, like, offense is offense, but the defensive coordinator is, like, one of the important pieces of the team, right? So all your assistants, all your staff are important to the team. And you win a state championship, I mean, that's great. I don't understand these people. Oh, he's not the coach, though. He's not the coach. Come on.
You know, you must be, Jeremy, obviously you must be an athlete, or you must have been an athlete at one time or something. Is that right?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
And what did you what did you play?
Basketball.
And so you had a coach?
Yes.
Did you have an assistant coach?
Yeah, of course.
Did you have a trainer?
Of course.
And you probably called him trainer. I mean, coach.
Coach, yeah.
I mean, you know, at the end of the day, it takes a whole staff of leadership. In a company, you call it like the board of directors,
mm-hmm.
or you call it the management team. You don't just say, you know, well, he's CEO and that's it. No, it takes a whole number of people to lead an organization to get to the Super Bowl. Or get to the championship, or to get to whatever. What year did you play? High school, junior high?
Through college, 93, 98.
So you really get it. So going back to your point, so that just to be clear, if you are the Houston Texans and if you win the Super Bowl, everyone in the organization, all those coaches, trainers, the doc, everybody, they all get a ring.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, even further, the Astros, when they won, even the people working in the stadium got rings.
They did not.
Yeah, everyone got a ring.
What do you mean? The
concession people. The concession
the
people.
The concession people got a championship ring?
That's right.
Well, damn it, I want to go work at the concession. Wow, that's such a one, like the person that's selling programs?
I think yes. so.
Wow.
Everybody.
What a wonderful thing. Holy cow. You know what? Well, they make it all work.
Right.
So how wonderful is that? Well, Jeremy, I really appreciate you mentioning all that because you brought a new perspective that I didn't think about, which is all these people are associated with a team, and therefore when the team wins, they all win. When I used to coach, because see, you know, a lot of people, first of all, my nickname is Andy. So a lot of people call me Andy, my good friends and my family. But I also coached 40 seasons of soccer. And I mean, I was the coach, the head coach, if you such a thing. And so there's a whole universe of people that call me coach. Mm-hmm. And so it's a beautiful thing. So going back, I think that's great. So for those people who are saying, oh, he's, you know, not the coach or something, I mean, they're wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, he was, and being an offensive coordinator or defense, those are the key things. Sometimes the head coach doesn't even call the defense, or they don't even call the offense. Exactly. So that's a great point. Well, Jeremy, you are talking to five stations right now. You are talking to really all of Houston because you are on KWWJ, which is called Keep Walking with Jesus. You are talking to KYOK, which is the legendary. And you're talking to KCOH, the source, Aliento Radio, and Sangeet Radio. So what do you want to say to all of Houston about the election or anything else and the whole DNC or anything else you want to say, pal?
Just make sure everybody's registered and get out and vote.
There you go. We'll leave it there. Thank you for that, Jeremy, because that's right.
Yeah.
Everyone needs to vote.
Everyone needs to vote. And, you know, that's my, so important.
My daughter, Juju, everyone knows my daughter because I always talk about her. My Juju, who, when I was coaching, she would have to be on my hip when she was like 3 years old. And there I am on the field giving instructions, and there she was. Because she had to be with me everywhere.
Right.
And I'm so glad she still has to be with me everywhere. She is 17, a senior at St. Agnes, and she's going to be going to college, and we're working on her essays and all that right now.
Wow. How exciting.
It is, but you know what? I'm going to really cry. I'm going to have a whole episode of just nothing but – you know how they have all that – the laugh? The laugh, the laugh. They're going to have my clips of me crying. They're gonna have, there's Gilbert crying, and there I am crying here, then I'm a lot crying there, then I'm crying here, and they're gonna have nothing but me crying. That's what we're gonna do when my Juju, you know, leaves the house. And then I don't know what's gonna do. It happened because my wife and I are gonna have to just like stare at each other. You know, I'm gonna look at her, she'll look at me, and we're gonna say, well, what do you wanna do now? Well, I don't know. And you know what we're gonna say? I guess just take
you're
a nap.
You're gonna say, let's call Juju, let's see what she's doing.
We're gonna say, yeah, that's right. That's probably what happens to you, right? Let's just call Juju.
I had a quick comment as it relates to coach, right? You know, I never really played sports, right? But I remember coming into this industry, and I've been doing this 31 years.
You could not be doing it for 31 years.
I've been doing it 31 years.
So you must have started when you were 7?
Exactly.
Yeah.
But I remember because I was on the trading desk, and I was young Ruby then, right? And trying to learn my way. And I remember calling a trader. And he was a senior veteran in the industry, and he took his time to try to train me, right? And I remember when he introduced himself, he said, everyone calls me coach. And I get it. I got it after a while because he always went the extra mile to teach folks, regardless of who you are or where you were at. And so, you know, coaches are important in sports, but also outside of that, you always need a coach in life.
Well, you know, what's interesting is when you're a young parent, there's different stages of your child. And at first, there's always a stage when the baby totally is fragile and just needs you. The head can't even stand up. And then the baby learns how to open its eyes and it notices you. And that's a big thing. Mm-hmm. And then the baby begins to talk. And that's a big thing. And the baby can then walk. And then that's hell on wheels because the baby's everywhere. And then comes the new stuff when they first go to school.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, all these other people begin to influence their lives, whether it's the other kids, whether it's the teachers. And then they get older and they go into sports. What's very interesting is some of the people who had the biggest effect on me were not some of my teachers, but some of the people that were either my coaches or when I was student body president, the person that was in charge of the student body Council and all that. Those are the people that have the biggest impact on me, and they have today.
Right.
So it's a beautiful day. We have three more people that are already on hold. Brother so, Chris. For Brother Chris, are you there, brother?
Yeah, how's it going,
brother? How are you, man? Did you see the convention?
Yes, I did. And I wanted to say this real quick regarding coach. You know, Gilbert, you was a head coach, but you was coaching soccer. Even in the pros, that the head coach even referred to his assistant coaches as coach. He don't say assistant coach Dustin such. Even the players say, the players don't say assistant coach Dustin. They call him coach. It goes to that some people didn't play organized sports, others was never team players. When you assistant coach or head coach, you still consider a coach. But anyway, some people just be reaching. And one thing I want to say about Democratic Convention.
Before you do that, I think you also brought up a good point, which is when you're on this field, if you're a player, you don't say, well, you're the coach, and then you don't say, Mr. Assistant Coach. You don't differentiate them that. You're learning from all of them, and they're all your coach. They're
That's
coach.
Right. That's right.
There you go. Go ahead, Chris.
And one thing I want to also point out, Gary, so people don't misunderstand, what I noticed, you know, as I mentioned at the Democratic Convention, you know, Kamala Harris has an impressive resume, and Donald Trump has an unimpressive rap sheet. Now, for folks, I heard someone earlier say, well, you compare the resume, you see Kamala Harris' resume, you see Donald Trump's resume. Somebody said, well, his resume will also show that he is the president-elect. Yeah, but his resume also show, once through the background check, he also was impeached twice. They say, his resume show he was a businessman. They said, yeah, also show he's a fraudster and a con man. You follow me?
Yes.
Also, he was a failed businessman because the 26 business that he had was failed business. So once you put your resume out there, then you do the background check and you say, oh, wow, he's a failure. But you do the background check on the other person's resume. So, okay, she's pretty much a success. So that's what people who out there don't think outside the box. They said, well, it showed he's the president-elect, right? It also told he was in, it showed that he was also, you know, impeached twice while he was president. You follow me? So that's what people out there don't have something that's to be better. I just have to say that, Gilbert, get that out the way.
Well, you know what? Let's get something else. And again, I have friends that support Donald Trump. And the thrust of the original Republican Party, I say original because somehow things have changed, was about the role of government. Yeah. You know, the Ronald Reagan, things of that nature. Jack Kemp, Howard Baker. These were great statesmen, even though they were on the opposite sides of the aisle for me. But with Donald Trump, it's just completely different. And so remember, number one, let's go back to what you said. He's got a rap sheet. He's been impeached twice, and you forgot another one. I think he's declared bankruptcy like two or three times. So, you know, if you saw that, you'd say, yeah, I don't think I want to hire that person, right?
Right.
And so that's what we're doing when you vote. You're hiring those elected officials to represent you. So we're hiring him to be the president. And if you sort of see that whole list, you'd say, you know what? I don't think I'm going to hire him.
Right.
Am I right, coach? Hey, I mean, brother Chris, I'm going to call you coach from now on. Go ahead, brother.
One other thing, you're a businessman. And on some application, they ask the question, have you ever been convicted of a crime before? Huh?
Right.
So don't you can't say yes to that.
Oh, that's right. He's also been convicted. He's also a convicted felon.
Yes.
That's right. Exactly. On like 16 count, yeah, whatever it was. Like whatever it was. It was a lot. It was a lot.
It was double digits.
Right. He was convicted 34 counts to be exact. And he's facing additional three other trials that's coming to his future. He haven't made it there yet. So, and that's don't misunderstand it, ladies and gentlemen. People can vote who they want, but you got to understand one thing. Which one of these candidates give us a better chance at saving our democracy? I remember a time when Ronald Reagan was president, and he and House Speaker Pete O'Neill, they would go back and forth. They always kept it civil, and they did what was best for the American people, not for themselves. That's what politics supposed to be. I can disagree with Gilbert, and Gilbert can disagree with my party, but at the end of the day, we're going to do the best for the American people and still have a beer, you know, and play a game of basketball.
Obama would play basketball with a lot of Republicans.
Yeah.
Exactly. But this gentleman, he'll say, oh, no, it's about him. And then and I'll say that, get out of the way. One thing that disturbs me, just here recently, you have some prisoners released from Russia, okay? And Donald Trump, he congratulated Putin and then congratulate, at least from what I know, the president here, Joe Biden, or any of the American people that was involved. He didn't correct any of them. Now, you guys congratulate Putin for releasing the hostages recently, but you didn't say thank you to, you know, any of the American government that was involved in getting those hostages and prisoners released from Russia not too long ago. Y'all saw it.
That was a big mm-hmm. deal. Yeah. I mean, that was a big deal because it's very delicate. And, you know, on one hand, you're trying to get them free. On the other, you want to make sure they don't hurt them.
Mm-hmm.
Brother Chris, what do you got for all of Houston right now?
Well, I would just tell all of Houston to get out and first of all, not only vote, okay, take as many people as you can. And then I tell people, do your homework and research first, okay? Let's take the president and say, which one of these candidates give us the best chance at, you know, education, say my democracy? Which one is better chances? Which one of these candidates, you know, give us the best chance at doing what's right for all the American people, not just for the rich, not just for the business. Which one of these candidates? And you can ask yourself the question, take the person's, but take the way she laughed out and her color out. Which one of these candidates? Because this one of these candidates had his chance already 4 years. Apparently, he did something wrong. He was voted out of office.
That's
so
right.
Can't be said. And now he's coming back. And I also heard this game, you listen to these candidates. This one particular candidate say, this is your last time having to vote, people. Y'all better leave the writing on the wall.
Right.
This is your last time having to vote, people, because he has a hidden, wicked agenda that's not beneficial to America. And you got to look at this, too, Gilbert. I get it. I got away. I'm also concerned this candidate, if Mr. Trump get in office, you got to see how it's going to impact the Ukrainians. Because that's going to be Putin won't. You got to see how it's going to impact the Ukrainians, because I'm pretty sure they're going to try to stop that military support that's going over there to help the Ukrainians out. So, you know, that Donald Trump is dangerous, not just for America, but for the rest of the world, NATO and our allies as well. You got to look at the bigger picture. Take a little small petty stuff out. You know, which one is candidate best for our democracy and for the world? And that would be Kamala Harris.
Well, you know, you bring up another great point, which is there was a time when we in America were all about democracy and spreading democracy around the world and being involved. And when we started NATO, that was all about let's make sure there's not another World War, mm-hmm. you know, two again, and to just say now we're going to abandon NATO, abandon our allies, and they can't count on us, and we're just going to let Russia just take over Ukraine, which is their border, and then where does that end? That's very, very dangerous.
Yes.
Brother Chris, thank you for bringing it to our attention, and please join us again.
I will. We need all hands on deck.
All hands on deck. You got it, brother.
And yes, she can.
Yeah. Yes, she can. No, it was she, Sepueda. She Sepueda.
Si Sepueda.
She, no, she can. Oh. Yeah. Remember, they changed the C to she.
She can.
Yes, she can. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Now, I'm just reading his rant. He also said she caused the attack of October 7th. Can you imagine that? That when the Hamas came across and went and killed all those people in Israel.
Gosh.
How could she have caused that? You know, I mean, just to make such a statement.
Yes.
And there's so many other things I'm going to read about where he said just such outrageous things. And let's just remember, and just to recap, on September 7th, we have Representative Christina Morales.
September 2nd.
September, what did I say?
7th.
Oh, September 2nd, September 9th. I'm talking too fast. I'm excited.
Yes,
Dwight Boykins. He's going to be a fun one. I just know. The 16th, Chris Tomlinson from the Chronicle. Boy, we're going to talk a lot about that center point because everyone's got a center point story, yes. But he's going to tell us the facts. Then we got Julian Ramirez from Council on the 23rd, and then Ms. Georgia Provost. Okay, we have another caller. Is there a Vicky? Is Vicky on the line?
What's up, Gilbert? How's it going?
Vicky, how are you doing? I think I owe you, I don't know if I owe you a check because I'm supporting your thing or am I speaking somewhere or do you need my logo? But, you know, I was in the convention all week, so call me later because I want to make sure I do what I need to do. But
yeah.
Meanwhile, what do you got about the convention?
What do you mean?
What do you think about it? Did you see it?
I saw it. I saw briefly. I was working really hard on the Singo. Now we're working on some more teen projects. So this is where I need your help on because these teens are going into leadership. Like these teens are ready to like change the scope of the world and the dynamics of saying, hey, you know what? We need to make a difference by taking initiative and doing this community project work.
Well, tell me about it. Tell me about this group. Go.
So it's hero, helpful, encouraging, respectful, on task.
Let's do it again. Let's do it again. Hero, helpful. Go ahead.
Encouraging. Respectful.
Respectful.
And on task.
And on task. I like that. Mm. Keep going.
Yeah. Yeah. So what we're doing right now, Gilbert, is we're partners right now with, we're creating our strategies with the Bridge Over Troubled Waters. We work really, really close. Well, you were there whenever we taught the hero. You spoke there. Were you
yes.
To the children?
Oh, it really, I mean, these kids are so beautiful.
Yes.
Their faces, their smiles. And you think they have these wonderful feelings with all the, you know, challenges yep. in their lives. Yes. I think it's wonderful what you're doing yep. and what those teachers are doing.
Yes. And so that's what we're doing. So these children are all just collaborating and creating a movement, like literally. So right now we're teaching, we're having a huge pool party, and then we're going into creating a summit, a teen summit. And that's where it's like, Gilbert, we need you to come talk to the kids, the students, these future leaders. And we just got to pave the way for them.
Well, I want to do it for sure. I'll just try to get you today. I'm going to Chicago today, back to Chicago, not for the convention, but some other things. And I'll be back Wednesday afternoon, I believe. And then I'm taking my wife to see Barry Manilow.
Oh, how awesome.
Yeah. And Vicky, you know how you know that you're getting a little bit old? Of course, you and Ruby are torch young, but I remember a couple of years ago when he first came to Houston, he came most recently, and I was saying to someone, I'm going to take my wife to see Barry Manilow. And these young ladies said, wow, that's great. And then I turned, and behind my back, I heard them say, who the hell's Barry Manilow? And I just thought, who the hell's Barry Manilow? Oh, my God, am I that old? Anyways, I think it's great. Well, let's try to touch base today. And why don't you give us the whole website and everything else of Hero, and how can people get involved, or what can they find out information?
Absolutely. So get involved, www.missiononeusa.com. Our children are determined to bring unity in our community. You know, one of the big acronyms is respect. So it's respect for all. And so respect for self. And so they've learning boundaries and what have you, which is much needed. You know that, you know, right now our children need to learn these all kinds of different boundaries and say that it's okay to say no. It's okay to say no. But going back, Mission One USA, follow us on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, other platforms. It's all on Mission One USA, YouTube. We are having we do have our Mission One USA podcast news, also the Hero Network on live streaming, along with now September 9th, we're launching TV, the Hero Network. So bringing in family resources for children, families, and beyond.
Amen. Vicky, thank you for joining the show, and please call in again.
Thank you. Thank you, Gilbert.
You're welcome. So, Ruby, so here's another thing. All this has come from CNN.
Yeah.
When Kamala, I got now. I mean, I got to remember. It's yeah. Kamala. Kamala. La la la.
Yeah. Okay. You go.
See, I remember. The whole thing was they were talking about. She was talking about essentially reproductive rights, and I think the real crux of it is women should have the right to determine their reproductive rights mm-hmm. and their bodies. Mm-hmm. And why should a bunch of 90-year-old, 80-year-old guys in Washington decide that?
Correct.
You know, whether yep. it's the Supreme Court or whether it's the Senate or these guys. And that's all it's about. And so she was saying that. And then so Trump wrote, I'm going to read from the quote, "I do not limit the birth control. That is a lie. These are all false stories and that she's making up." Of course, he changed all the Supreme Court justices just, and yep. made sure they were going to overturn Roe versus Wade, which was making abortion legal in the country, right?
Yes.
Anyways, and he says, she's making it up, and I've never even heard of. It's just words coming out of her mouth. Chuck then posted, I trust women also, and I will keep women safe. She won't. Of course, she's a woman, but she won't keep them safe. Because the invasion of our country at her border, at her open border, is destroying the lives of women. What's the connection there? And aren't there a lot of people coming over, women?
The ones
that they're trying to separate from their husbands and
families,
lock them up for yeah. I mean, how can that be helping women? I don't know. She's destroying the lives of women and the families and jobs of African-Americans and Hispanics. I mean, that's not what he even talked about. And then, of course, then he got really angry because someone was talking about she's getting all these bumps and the polls and all those sorts of things. So then he wrote, she countered that, quote, she's not having success. I'm having success. Doesn't that sound like someone in grade school? No, you can't have it. Yeah, I'm going to have it. No, you can't have it. Yes. I mean, no, she's not having success. I'm having success. And then he wrote, I'm doing great with Hispanic voters. I'm doing great with black men. I'm doing great with women because women want safety. They don't have safety when they have somebody allowing 20 million people into our country. 20 million people. I think the entire number of immigrants told, I mean, of from the South, the whole number is probably maybe 20 million. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm going to got to fact check that. We've got to check. Let's put that down. What is the number? Is it 20 million immigrants? Of course, she's talking about people from South Mexico and Central America.
Right.
Let's see here. But you just got to love this stuff because it's just so interesting. I'm going to keep looking as we go to our next caller, Michael. Mr. Michael.
Hey there.
Mr. Michael, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Mr. Michael, what do you got for me, Gilbert Garcia, of a tip for me about the convention, about anything, about Centerpoint, about your coach in your life, anything you got, my friend?
So relating back to the Trump immigration thing, I had just had this thought. And I checked it out to see if it was true. So I think this is just a theory.
Go ahead.
I think he actually is confusing insane asylums with people seeking asylums. And it's because
he is confusing. You know, so, I mean, on the one hand, you have the insane asylum, and the other, you have people seeking asylum. Yes. I mean, you know, I can see how that you could get that confused there. Yeah. Go ahead there, Michael.
He has a quote, and he says something to the effect of, the mental institution population is down because they're taking people from insane asylums in foreign countries and from mental institutions and sending them to the U.S.
So they're taking everybody from the mental institutions from down south, and they're bringing them here. And they're going to bring them. I mean, you know, I guess where do they even get such a accusation? I mean, how do they know who's in the insane asylum? And when the Border Patrol, and by the way, my brother-in-law's a Border Patrolman. You know what I'm going to ask him next time? Do you check people, say, when you get them? Have you been in an insane asylum? Or, you know, I guess if you just see them talking to themselves, you just assume, they're insane. Yeah, I guess they're insane. That's a good one there, Michael. What else you got for us? I mean, you sound like a guy that's pretty clever. You got some good stuff. What else do you see out there?
I got one more thing because I was thinking about the DNC. So people in my age group, so I'm 30, but they're talking about the 18 to 34-year-olds and the number as a percentage. What do you think that they made up of as watchers of the DNC? Like that block, like what percentage do you think?
I think the most of them were probably over 60. I'm just guessing. And the next were probably younger, like between 25 and 35. So I'm going to say the percentage of the watchers or the percentage of the people of that age watching. Which one do you mean?
Percentage of people that were watching.
Okay, I'm gonna say 25%.
Okay, so in 18 to 34, they were 5%.
Oh my God, that's terrible.
Wow.
Well, I knew it was 5%. Low, but I was just hoping that been that at least 30s. 5% of the people watching the show were of the age of 18 to 24.
Now that number actually goes up if you. So this is what I was going to say: is they were actually the majority were watching on YouTube, and of that, half of them were watching it in vertical video rather than in kind of the television format. So just something to think about.
Well, so watching it. Like, well, one thing I was going to say is one reason it's so slow is you're looking at TV, and a lot of people are looking at cable and they're looking at social media. But tell me again about this whole thing of the format versus TV versus vertical. What does that mean?
So, you know how you look at things on your phone and it's kind of like that long, you know, like the TikTok format.
Right.
So that's how a majority of people in that age group were actually watching the DNC was in that vertical video format.
Hmm. And why? I mean, is that like better that way? Or that's just how they, I mean, what does that mean to us?
I think if you think about it in terms of, you know, if you're used to looking at content on kind of the Instagram or YouTube Shorts or TikTok, it is in that vertical video format. So I think it's just what people are more familiar with now as you go down in like the age group.
And so when you look at everything, what do you get as your percentage now?
That one, it goes up to like 11%.
11, at least it doubled. But that's amazing. Mm-hmm. Well, I knew, or at least I thought, most are going to be the seniors, you know, over 60.
Yeah.
Is that, am I right or am I wrong?
You are definitely correct in that. Yeah. So the 50 plus is pretty much the bulk of it. I think it's a 30-35%.
Yeah. It's just one of those things where, you know, as you get older, when you're coming just out of college, you're not thinking about, you know, you're young. You're not really thinking about your future. You're not thinking about things like what's going on in the world or what's going on with taxes. You're not thinking about those things. You're not thinking about kids and schools. And then your 30s and 40s, you start having kids and things. So your world starts changing, mm-hmm. and you start thinking about your kids and you start thinking about your taxes. And then when you get in your 50s and 60s, boy, you're thinking about everything, your taxes, everything, you know. And so it changes as things go on. And I think that's always been the case.
Yeah.
Because it's just about what people are feeling and what's going on in their lives. Well, Michael, I appreciate you, man. Anything else you want to say to the Houston before we cut you off there?
Just make sure to check that you're registered to vote and show up on election day or early vote if you can. You know,
make
your voice heard.
You're a good man. Michael, thank you for calling. And by the way, thank you. Number for people who are listening still, you can still call in. If you love that laugh, you can call in 832-570-8075. So now let's talk about something that was interesting because Donald Trump talked about black jobs. And I guess, what does that mean, a black job anyway?
I have no idea.
Last time I see, I thought, you know, black people do everything, just like Hispanic people kind of do everything.
We do it all.
And just like white people do. I mean, everybody does sort of everything, right?
Right.
So I wasn't sure what he meant by black jobs. But let's hear Trump in his own words. And again, it's just interesting, all the accusations that are thrown out here. So let's play that black jobs comment.
The inflation. He's blaming inflation. And he's right. It's been very bad.
Okay,
he caused the inflation. Pause that.
So he's saying that Joe Biden caused inflation. I mean, can you imagine that he's got so much power? He just could cause inflation like that. But keep going. Let's go.
Families and Hispanic families and just about everybody. It's killing people. They can't buy groceries anymore. They can't. You look at the cost of food where it's doubled and tripled and quadrupled. They can't live. They're not living anymore. He caused this inflation. I gave him a country with essentially no inflation. It was perfect. It was so good. All he had to do is leave it alone. He destroyed it with his Green New Scam and all of the other
Green New
money
scam.
That's being thrown out the window. He caused inflation. As sure as you're sitting there, the fact is that his big kill on the black people is the millions of people that he's allowed to come in through the border. They're taking black jobs now. And it could be 18, it could be 19.
So I guess all the people coming from below the border, uh-huh. and they're coming over and they're taking all the black jobs.
Okay.
That's
what he sounds like.
But you know,
like
the unemployment rate's only like 4% and change. Yeah. I mean, it's pretty low.
4.3.
So what's, then what jobs are they getting? I don't know. Let's keep going on this black jobs.
And even 20 million people, they're taking black jobs and they're taking Hispanic jobs, and you haven't seen it yet, but you're going to see something that's going to be the worst in our history.
First of all,
no white jobs.
They're not taking any white jobs. You know what? Because I guess, I don't know, maybe they won't let us in. Yeah, because those are the good jobs. Yeah. I guess that's what he's saying. I don't know.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, so they're not taking the white jobs, but they're taking, and what about the Hispanic jobs? Well, I guess, aren't those people coming over kind of like, you know, Hispanics?
Yeah.
I mean, sort of, kind of, at least that's what we think. I mean, so they're taking away black jobs, and well, you know, Michelle Obama said it really great at the convention, because of course, there are lots of, you know, very prominent African-Americans in society, as well as in the Senate, as well as in the White House.
Yep.
And the vice president is, you know, black. So let's now go to what Michelle Obama said.
Kamala Harris truly understands the unseen labor and unwavering commitment that has always made America great. Now, unfortunately, we know what comes next. We know folks are going to do everything they can to distort her truth. My husband and I sadly know a little something about this.
Ain't that the truth?
For years, Donald Trump did everything in his power to try to make people fear us. See, his limited, narrow view of the world made him feel threatened by the existence of two hardworking, highly educated, successful people who happen to be Black.
Okay, pause that, pause that. You know, pause that. That's the whole thing right there. She just summed it up. Two highly successful, all those things she said,
right,
who happen to be Black.
That's right.
It's like our firm. When I always tell people, look, we are one of the best. Mm-hmm. We may not be good enough, I guess, for University of Houston because Ricky Raven doesn't think we are,
right.
But at the end of the day, we happen to be one of the best. That's why we're $22 billion, the biggest firm in Texas.
Right.
And we happen to be minority-owned and women-owned.
Right.
With lots of Blacks and Hispanics and women at our place. I think it makes us better.
Right.
Because we're hungrier. We work harder. Because we have to be better then, because that's what's gone on in society all these years. Let's keep going. Here goes.
I want to know.
What's to know?
Who's going to tell him that the job he's currently seeking might just be one of those Black jobs?
might be one of those Black jobs. I mean, come on. She summed it up right there.
That's right.
And in that quick minute brought him down to what he is, which is he's just frustrated. He's just, I don't know. Where are all those statesmen that used to be like Ronald Reagan and like Jack Kemp? He was one of the best friends to the minority community. Let's continue. We got another caller already. Isidro Garza, are you there, Isidro?
Mayor, I'm so proud of you.
Come on, Isidro. Bring it on. And, I was at the Democratic National Convention, and, the funny thing about it, Isidro, no, you got a lot to say, and you're going to have this is going to be probably our last call. I know we had another caller waiting, but we may not be able to get to you. At the end of the day, the beautiful thing about the convention is there's so many people there, and you just walk around and you see, for example, Isidro, we had a meeting and we saw several state treasurers from the greatest states of Vermont, Colorado, Rhode Island, from California, New York, the controller of New York, and we were able to be up close and personal and sit with them and be with them to talk policy. I had Al Sharpton next to me talking about, and I'm talking about a group of only like, when I talk about these treasurers and things, there are probably only 15 of us. Half of them were state treasurers. Al Sharpton was with us. Yeah, and he's talking about empowering people of color. And then we had the icon of all icons in Dolores Huerta, who marched with Cesar Chavez. And I know you know her and you know all about that. Well, I'm going to let you go in 1 second, not go off the phone. I mean, let you talk and just run. I sat with her. I had ability to be with her twice. I mean, you see, I'm not kidding when I say she is, I think, 94.
94, yep.
But she looks 70.
Oh, man.
And she just is a fireball.
Yes.
And I mean, she walks around. She's got all her faculties. I mean, she knows exactly where she's at. I mean, it's amazing. Yeah, if only the good Lord will grant us all such long, productive lives. Yeah. I mean, it was truly amazing. But then you go, oh, by the way, we also saw several labor leaders, including SEIU. We saw, of course, Carl Cummings. I should have put his clip up there because he was dynamite on his 2 minutes. We saw people like Christina Morales. Mm-hmm. I saw Lily Schechter, who used to be head of the party, and so many others just walking around. Mm-hmm. It was so cool. What do you got for us, Isidro?
Well, I repeat, I'm so proud of you. And just like there's a change in guard at the presidential, going from the older to the younger, in Kamala Harris, so too in the Hispanic community, that is being the baton is being passed on to my dear friend Gilbert Garcia, and you just have to get that and run with it. There's so many issues. Their issue is fear. Right now, we just finished a press conference in San Antonio, pushing back against Paxton's raids that he raided all of the a lot of Democratic houses to put fear in our electoral process, and we got to push back.
Hold that thought. Let me ask you something. So, just for the listeners, so our Attorney General, who's Ken Paxton. He has the power of who? Is it the Rangers? Who goes to the door?
The Rangers, and he formed a squad. He formed a squad within the Attorney General to go do that.
And what were they? And so they went to people's homes. And who all do they go to? Do you know?
They went to Cecilia Castellano, who's running for state representative. In my son used to hold that position, District mm-hmm. 80. Years back, but she's running against the Republican McLaughlin, Mayor of Uvalde, and there's no comparison. It's the same thing as Kamala Harris and Trump. We know who the right person is. So what did they do? They attacked her. They took her cell phone. The kid came in at 6 o'clock in the morning and just raided her house. Same thing wow. they did wow. some of my dear friends, some of whom you met. Remember Lydia Martinez yes. that you met in state convention? Well, her house was raided too.
Wow.
That's
and,
crazy.
And so we've got to push back.
And what exactly are they looking for when they say?
No, they're not looking for anything. They've gone into the state statute and said there's such a thing as harvesting ballots. And that's a complex deal. If anybody got any benefit, how do you define benefit? Then it can become a crime, and they can declare it. And so they're looking for ballots that we may have in our houses that we can go and stuff ballots. I mean, that's ridiculous. Mm. So all they're doing is instilling fear in our Hispanic community. And we're not going to allow it. We're going to push back really hard. And this is where you, Gilbert, and LULAC, you're a member of LULAC.
Yeah.
We need to push back as hard as we can and dispel the fear, because the damage has already been done. Once they do that, a lot of Hispanics are not going to come out to vote, thinking that maybe there's something that they're going to do when I go vote. And that's how they have suppressed the vote of our communities. And we're not going to allow it.
I think we need a whole show on this.
Yeah. Well, there is right now. At 10 o'clock, we had the president, national president, the previous president and the current president, whom you know personally, both of them.
Right.
And I've got one of my attorney friends is considering taking it on. And if he takes it on, forget it. This guy's a bulldog. And we're going after Paxton.
Well, let me ask you this. If you would, I think we should have a whole episode here on the show about it. And if one of those national leaders of LULAC is available, I'd love to have them on the show. Or if not, then just you. I think it's important, because if they can do it to the Latinos, they're going to then try to do it with the African Americans and others.
Absolutely.
And then all of a sudden, go ahead.
Intimidation of any manner to keep people from voting. It doesn't matter race or party. It's not part of our system. It's not American. It's anti-American.
Well, you know what? I have 30 seconds. Let me ask you this. I'm going to follow up with you. I'm going to Chicago later today, but I'd like to have a whole episode on this, because this is much more important than just the 2 or 3 minutes we're giving it. And
let's do it next Monday.
Yeah, if you check with your team.
Yes.
And so I'm going to sign up with you now, and I'm going to play the sign-off commercial, because we've run out of time. But I want to do that.
God bless you.
Thank you, my friend. All right, Hughes, that was Isidro Garza, great leader, really involved in huge LULAC, and I think we're going to tee up the last 30 seconds because you ready for this, Ruby? It's already been an hour.
It went by fast.
How does that happen?
Because it's great conversation.
Yes, and we'll see you next time.
This is Gilbert Andrew Garcia. Listen to my radio show, A Tip from Gilbert. Talk, inspiration, and prayer every Monday from 11 a.m. till noon on Houston's gospel leader, KWWJ. 1360 AM and streaming live on KWWJ.org. Listen on the legendary KYOK 1140 AM and streaming live on KYOKradio.org. KCOH 1230 AM, The Source.
On Send Geek Radio 95.1 FM 1460 AM.
And Aliento Radio 101.7 FM and 1540 AM. Call in at 832-570-8075 and follow me on social media. See you then.